Welcome back. Despite the constant shelling by the Syrian government, residents held vigils in homes last night in memory of two Western journalists who were killed trying to tell their story. On the YouTube video, we see hundreds of people swaying back and forth. A sign reads, "Remy Oklik, Marie Colvin, we will not forget you." Their deaths came days after Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Anthony Shadid died in Syria of an apparent asthma attack. It's been a rough week for the foreign journalism community. Stephen Farrell is with the New York Times. We've reached him in Beirut, Lebanon. Stephen, you didn't know the photographer Remy Oklik, but we spoke with you last week about the loss of your friend Anthony Shadid and now your friend Marie Colvin. We are just so sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I mean, as a community of journalists, everyone's devastated. I mean, Anthony and Marie were both long-standing models for many going into the industry. I knew Marie longer than I knew Anthony, and certainly when I was a young journalist in Britain, you know, she was one of the preeminent foreign correspondents of our age. And I remember reading the Sunday Times and just marveling at her courage and her humanity. And it's just strange because you find yourself a few days after death of Anthony Shadid saying so many of the same things about somebody else, you know. But that's because they were both at the very, very top of their profession.
Well, and they could write so eloquently about what they were seeing, you know, brave enough to go see it, but then be able to write so eloquently and speak so eloquently about it. A lot of listeners have heard this week her interview with Anderson Cooper just hours before she was killed. She was in homes and was talking about, you know, the horrific experience of watching a 2-year-old Syrian boy die after a shelling. And Anderson Cooper asked her about, you know, publishing such graphic accounts.
Why is it important, do you think, to see these images? Why is it important for you to be there? Right now, you may be one of the only Western journalists in homes. Our team has just left.
I feel very strongly that they should be shown. That's the reality. These are 28,000 civilians, men, women, and children, hiding, being shelled, defenseless. That little baby is just one of two children who died today, one of children being injured every day. That baby probably will move more people to think, what is going on and why is no one stopping this murder in homes that is happening every day?
Stephen Farrell, does that sound like the reporter you knew?
Yes, it does. I mean, as it happens, I remember in 2001 when Marie sneaked into northern Sri Lanka to report on the Tamil Tigers group there that was fighting the Sri Lankan government. I happened to be the India correspondent of the Times of London, and I got a phone call very late at night saying, something's gone wrong, can you get to Sri Lanka? And I arrived there, and that was the occasion in which she lost her eye as she was coming out in a very, very dangerous place. Her party was ambushed by the Sri Lankan soldiers, and she was taken to Colombo. And you know, I mean, she was lying in a hospital bed, and I was trying to smuggle a phone into her, and so she could talk to her family. And on the one hand, she was terrified that she was going to lose her eye, which she did. On the other hand, she, you know, when I asked her what happened, because she knew I had a story to write and wanted to tell everybody what happened, she just switched into complete professional mode and just gave me the A to Z brief account of the story. And, you know, I mean, there was human worry and concern and fear and very, very concerned for her family because she knew how worried they'd be. But at the same time, a consummate professional who felt that this was a very, very difficult place to get to, but she had to go there to tell the world what was happening. And most recently in Syria, you know, she finished her reporting and then called up human rights organizations telling them what was happening, not as a part of the story, but to try to get them involved, to try to get some relief for the people upon whom she was reporting.
Yeah. In fact, her editor urged her to leave Syria, said it was getting too dangerous. And Marie Colvin said she didn't want to leave. She might leave the following day, but the story was too important. And as we know, she died in that shelling. Do you think there's any conversation to be had about, you know, as you've just outlined, she would go to the side of the oppressed? You know, people were very critical of the Tamil Tigers in that civil war in Sri Lanka, but she went to them and defended them. Obviously now the world is looking on in horror in homes. There's not much criticism except from the Syrian government of the people in homes. But even as I'm framing this question, it sounds like a silly one, but Did she get maybe too involved with the oppressed people that she covered?
It's not really a concept I understand, getting too involved. I think without empathizing with people who are powerless in the face of abuse of power, reporting is just doing body counts and stenography of generals, presidents, and dictators. Anthony Shadid, who we were talking about hours ago, it seems, was very clear in 2003 why he decided to stay in Baghdad, because he didn't want to be part of, a media-managed Pentagon campaign. He wanted to be where the bombs and rockets were landing, showing people these may be the policy decisions you've taken, and these you may think you have reasons for this war, but this is the child in a hospital, this is the person blown apart, and that's what Marie Colvin did.
What's the talk with your fellow foreign journalists, Stephen? You know, is this just, you were just talking about the different war zones she's been in. Is there a sense that there's something different now, or this is just the terrible, terrible aftermath of war? I mean, is there something in this point in history, or this is just a potential for the job?
This is something I'm actually working through and trying to write something about at the moment. Why are we suddenly seeing so many, relatively speaking, journalists dying in Homs? How is this different from Iraq? How do we adapt? And I think, personally, there was an era over the last decade when many journalists were embedded with the U.S. military or the British military or other NATO countries in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And to a certain extent, there were certain types of risks that you did face still, landmine being shot at, but you weren't very likely to find yourself in a town that could be overrun or facing heavier artillery. But in the Arab Spring era, we're in a completely different world. In Syria, there's no green zone to run to. There's no
base.
There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
There were journalists moving in and among the civilians who were dying, and sometimes they're dying as well. So we're trying to figure out the variables and how to adapt.
New York Times reporter Stephen Farrell. Again, as you mull that, we're just so sorry for your losses this week.
Yeah, I think that the families of Anthony and Remy are obviously devastated.
Yeah. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you.
And, of course, the family of Remy Oclique as well. Back in a minute, here and now.